Yeah.
You want to like him, but you can't.
Are you listening?
What?
Are you listening?
Did you bring me on this show to insult me?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all don't want it with us, man. We straight gangsters over here.
Straight gangsters. Good morning and welcome back. You are listening to Scout Team Radio. We bring it to you hot and live each and every morning, Monday through Friday, right here on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. I am one of your favorite hosts. They call me Loudbeard.
You are the most egotistical, self-deluded person I have ever met.
And that might be true. And the man on the other microphone, as long as he doesn't have technical issues this morning, which I'm very confident that he might have one or two, but not really that many. The man on the other microphone, you know him as...
America! America!
You hear that? That's the sound of beautiful silence. And that's what I wanted to give everybody this morning, is a moment of silence so they could sit there and just reminisce about the good old days and think of the beautiful America that we live in, the beautiful world that we live in, the butterflies that flutter around us, the trees that grow up so beautifully with the leaves that fall during the fall unless you live in the state of Florida, and then you don't get fall at all. And then the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Yeah, all of that. That's why we gave you a moment of silence there. It was absolutely beautiful. We want to make sure we keep that rolling. Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for listening in. We've got a lot of great stuff to cover today. We're going to have an absolutely wonderful show. And I hear something brewing in the background. It's like a witch's brew. It's a cauldron with a lot of different awesomeness thrown together. What is that noise?
When you're sliding into first and you feel that bratwurst, diarrhea.
See, I always said it when you feel something burst.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
That's okay. I think both work. Like, there's no real technical details to the song. It's you just roll with what you go with, and I think both of them are valid in that song. So I could roll with either or.
Yeah, to keep this computer one more day, didn't get a chance to get over to the store to get a new computer, so I didn't realize I had to change the settings each time I turn on the computer, which makes me not want this computer even more. Chromebook,
right.
You're dead to me.
I love it. You're gonna hopefully you don't pull out an Office Space on us. You take the computer out back and give it a good beating.
No, I need to get my money back on this thing.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea. Well, the only beating I've been able to watch was that beating the Tampa Bay Rays put on the Houston Astros last night.
Not just the Houston Astros, but they put a beating on Justin Verlander.
Oh,
they took
yeah.
him to task on short rest.
Though, if that Katie Upton, if she needs a little help, like, getting over this, if she's really upset and Justin Verlander's busy, you know, recovering from the game, I'll help her out. She can have my shoulder to cry on. I said Katie. Kate Upton. Not a, there's
see,
no
Kate,
I. It's just
see, Kate,
Kate
he
Katie.
Can't even get your name right. He can't even get your name right. Why don't you come over to Chris America's house? I'm off today. I got all the time. Loudbeard has to work, and he can't even get your name work. Come on over to your boy Chris America's house. I'll take care of you.
Yeah, you got the advantage. You got me one upped on that one. That's okay, though, because right now the advantage neither goes to the Rays nor the Astros. This series is now tied 2-2, Chris America. It is anybody's ball game. So with that being said, I'm going to lead us into a quick segment of Who's Your Daddy, baseball style, since we are going hot and heavy into the playoffs. And I'm not going to ask you who the Rays and the Astros, who's going to win that game yet. I'm going to start off with a couple of these other games because not only are the Rays and Astros tied 2-2, but the Nationals and Dodgers going at it today, tied 2-2, winner-take-all series. Braves versus Cardinals tied 2-2 in their series. Winner take all today. And tomorrow we will get the winner of that Rays versus Astros game. So I was thinking, all right, we've got a lot up for grab here in the next 2 days in Major League Baseball. And the Yankees already swept the Twins. That's old news. Yankees moved through. But these other games, it could be a coin toss. So, Chris America, I'm going to start you out with Scotty Kiser's favorite team, the Braves. They're going up against the Cardinals. The Cardinals escaped elimination the other night. The Braves had it within their grasp with a late run and then in extra innings, a walk-off sac fly in the 10th. Can the Cardinals keep that magic together and get one more win against this tough Braves squad? So, Chris America.
Who's your daddy?
Ladbear, this series, I think, is probably the hardest one out of the three you're going to ask me to pick. And, of course, you got to lead it off. This has been one of the most back-and-forth series. You get late rallies that are tough to explain. Like, the team will just be dead, dead, dead. And you're like, okay, looks like the team with the lead is going to win. And then in the seventh, the eighth, or even the ninth inning, the losing team just rallies back. They find a way to string together some hits and get the wins. And then the closers on each team, once their team has the lead, they're able to shut the other team's batting staff down. I'm just going to go with the home team, which I believe is going to be the Braves, correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
You know, I'm just going to stick to what the song Take Me Out to the Ball Game says. You know, you got to root for the home team. If you don't, what is it? If they don't win, it's a shame. Yeah. So
yeah, there you go.
So we're singing all kinds of baseball songs.
I would like
today,
you to sing that whole song for us. I think the crowd would love it.
Me. Okay, I think I'm warm. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever come back. So let's root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 'Cause it's 1-2-3 strikes, you're out in the old ball game.
Wow, that was exceptional. I was not expecting that to be so just beautiful.
So Dean Martin-esque?
Yeah, that was. So this game is in Atlanta at SunTrust Park. So this is a possible advantage here for the Braves. And I'm going to go with you on this one, Chris America. I'm going the Atlanta Braves winning this one. So, yes, that would be your daddy of the evening. Now, next game, we've got the Nationals, the Bryce Harper-less Nationals, right? That was the story. Bryce Harper's at home on his couch watching his former team be very successful against a tough Dodgers squad, a squad that won over 100 games in the regular season. The Dodgers are heavily favored in this one, and they are looking to avoid that upset, but they're going to be facing ace Steven Strasburg, and this is winner take all. So, Chris America, I ask you, the heavily favored Dodgers or that unlikely Cinderella, the Washington Nationals?
Who's your daddy?
Well, Ladbear, I'm sorry to say, I'm only going to pick one Cinderella. And I can't make it your Washington Nationals. So I'm going to have to go with these Dodgers who have been to the World Series 2 years prior. They've just been firing on all cylinders the last 7 years. I don't think that this team's going to come back to L.A. in front of their home crowd and let them down like that. I don't think they could handle it. I don't think the city of L.A. could handle it. It would be just too disparaging to watch them get so close yet again and not even make it past the divisional series. I think they're going to come out swinging hard and swinging fast.
All right. That is a fair synopsis on your part. And I'm going to cordially disagree with you. Respectfully, as a gentleman, I'm going to say that you're wrong. And that's okay. You can be wrong. You're wrong all the time. And I'm okay. I'm here to point it out every time. But I'm going Nationals on this one. I like what Steven Strasburg is bringing. He's throwing some really great pitching right now, and I just think he's going to be that difference maker. Yes, this Dodgers lineup is a death lineup. Yes, this Nationals team is very unlikely. But I feel like there's going to be two Cinderellas in this whole song and dance, and the Nationals are one of them. So they are going to be my Who's Your Daddy pick of the day, and you and I are going to differ on that one. But on this next one, I have a feeling that you and I are not going to differ so much. So I wonder, can Chris America's team, can the David versus the Goliath actually happen in Major League Baseball as the Houston Astros represent the Goliath and our Tampa Bay Rays represent David? Can that happen? The Astros are throwing Gerrit Cole, who is absolutely lighting it up. But that's okay. It's a huge challenge. But last night, Justin Verlander was no challenge for the Rays, so they are ready for the big stage. So, Chris America, I ask you,
who's your daddy?
Will Loudbeard, these Rays, since they got back to Tampa in front of a very large crowd, by the way, they had to expand the stadium, open up some more seating. Tampa finally decided, you know what? I think I'm going to catch me some Rays baseball today. They finally got rid of all the excuses that we use to not go to a Rays games, and they filled it out. And the Tampa Bay Rays, I like their manager. He's a Joe Maddon disciple, and I love that they started passing out shirts that said Charlie freaking Morton in Game 3, who's their pitcher, and just really just playing loose, having fun. And it showed with the 14 or 15 runs they put up in the last two games. It shows in the defense that they're playing, the pitching they've been pitching. And I expect them to take that with them to a tough Minute Maid Park. And Loudbeard, the reality is that nobody likes Minute Maid from concentrate orange juice. Concentrate sucks. Whoever likes concentrate likes the Nazis, and they like murder, and they like, you know, exploding planets, and they like Darth Vader winning, like the bad Darth Vader, not the changed over to the dark, to the light side Darth Vader. That's what concentrate orange juice lovers are. We like our real freshly squeezed Tropicana orange juice, Loudbeard, do we not?
Tropicana is the best. It's heaven's nectar.
The only thing better than Tropicana is when I used to get fresh oranges from my grandma's yard back when I was a little kid, and those freshly squeezed oranges. Now, that was good, and Tropicana's second best to grandma's backyard oranges.
Well,
go
I don't
Rays.
Know if you knew
Rays
this.
Win.
I'm going to pull back the curtain for you for just a second.
All right.
Tropicana, they actually still use grandma's oranges in their mix. That's the truth, Chris America. That's how good this is, and that's how confident we are that the Rays are going to win.
Yep. So get your Tropicana, put a little daddy's cough syrup in there, a little vodka vodka in there, and enjoy a Rays win. I want to pick, the brain says pick Houston, right, Loudbeard? Because Houston is unstoppable at home. But the heart right now, it's taking over, and it's saying all Rays all day.
Yeah, and that's just like me and the Nationals pick. I look at the Rays and the Astros and the Nationals and the Dodgers. These are two very similar games. Two teams that probably shouldn't even be at a game five in these series. The Nationals and the Rays. The Rays were down and out. They were 0-2 in this series, and it didn't look pretty. It looked like it was donezo, right? And then all of a sudden, you see the life still beaten in this team. They do not... They just don't back down. They keep fighting, and they keep fighting. And so the heart, you're right, the heart's beating. My heart's beating right now, and I'm saying Cinderella Rays, Cinderella Nationals, and I'm excited about both of these teams. I'm hoping that one, if not both, pull off upsets. So I have somebody to really cheer for as this continues on, because I'm not cheering for the Yankees. I'm not cheering for the Dodgers. And, you know, you like to have a team that you can just really get behind. The Astros, they've already won a World Series. Who cares? Worst case scenario, guess what? I'd have to start rooting for the Braves. And, you know, I don't know if I could just hang my head and admit to Scotty Kiser that I would cheer on his team. I just don't know if I could do that.
Oh, yeah, me neither, Loudbeard. But part of me, as a Yankees hater, wants the Houston Astros to win. Is that bad?
So you're just saying who can have a better chance of taking out the Yankees? Who's that, you know, kryptonite to that New York Yankees? And that, is it the Astros? Probably. You know, the Astros, I mean, they've just had such a phenomenal run. They're such a good team that if they get upset by the Rays, you know, all of a sudden the Rays go in and they have another series where we're just assumed to be dead on arrival. The Yankees already are going to win it, right? But if the Astros win, all of a sudden, you've got, all right, here we go. Here's the kryptonite to Superman. The Astros are the team that could come in and take out the Yankees. So I'm with you on that one, Chris America. I see where you're going with that. I can understand it.
Yeah, I hate when the Yankees are in the World Series. It just becomes obnoxious. And then there's a greater chance that they win the World Series if they're actually in it. That's usually how that works, right?
Yeah, that's definitely how that works. Hey, just on a side note, I feel like it's gotten better. At first, there was some echo, but now there isn't. I feel like you've maybe made some adjustments, and things are moving a little bit smoother on your end. Sounds great. You're doing a good job. Good job over there, producer.
Yeah, I'm just turning off my mic because, you know, I can't plug in my headphones, so I'm just turning it off faster before you start talking.
Oh, I see what you're doing there. Okay, that works too. Wow, that's interesting. So I'm going to tell you a little story, Chris America. This morning was traumatic. I had a traumatic this morning. So I get back into the studio, and I forgot completely about the experience that I had yesterday with the tree frog. So I get back in the studio. I get in usually about an hour ahead of time, start making notes, preparing the equipment, eat a little breakfast, get myself going. And I'm sitting here. I'm ready to go, and then all of a sudden, there he is, back, harassing me. And I feel like this isn't fair that this tree frog, who I've been having problems with for weeks.
His name is Greg.
Well, I don't know if you want to give him a name when you hear how the story ends. So Greg.
Go on.
So Greg the free trog. I'm going to call him that now. Tree frog. So Greg the tree frog, he's sitting up there. I have a dartboard in my studio just, you know, for a little entertainment in case I get bored when I'm not making fun of Chris America. And so the tree frog's sitting on the top of my dartboard, and I'm sitting there thinking, he's back again. Like, why couldn't he not have just gone away? That would have made my morning so much better. And I said, okay, he's just going to sit there on top of the dartboard. He looks like he's asleep. I don't have anything to worry about. At this point, I'm just taking notes. I'm doing my prep for the show. I haven't even taken my headphones off. I'm just sitting here. All of a sudden, I hear a plop. Like, almost like something smacking the ground. And I'm sitting here like, what was that noise? And I look over, and Greg, the little wily sucker that he is, jumped all the way from the dartboard and lands like a foot away from me on the ground right next to me with a thunderous plop that was almost startling in a way. So there, now I'm looking at him like, you just jumped all the way from one side of the studio all the way to the other side of the studio, 1 foot from me. He was so close to he could have landed on me, and that would have even been more traumatizing. So now I'm like, okay, I can't go a whole show looking over my shoulder wondering, is this tree frog going to jump on me and give me the heebie-jeebies? Because I can't do that. This is not the pressure I can work under. I need to have a really stress-free environment to work under, because when you're on the microphone, you really need to focus on your craft. You really need to focus on what's important. So I did the unthinkable, Chris America. You know what I did?
Well, it's not what I thought you were going to do when you first started the story, so go on.
All right. I did the unthinkable. I said, all right, I need to get a weapon. So I found the most dangerous weapon to a tree frog that you could possibly find.
Is that salt?
Nope.
No, that's slugs.
Somebody told me it works on tree frogs. I don't know if that's true or not. That could be an urban legend. No, Chris America, I did it. I went and grabbed a cardboard box. That is the most dangerous weapon to a tree frog. I captured that son of a, you know what, and I took him and I released him outside so he could never, ever come back in and haunt me again. The end.
Well, you made it sound like you killed Greg. Because you're like, oh, when you hear the rest of the story, you're not, don't name it. Because once you name it, you get sad. And then I'm going to tell you. And then when you told me it was sitting on the dartboard, I was like, did Loudbeard really go and pick up the darts and dart this thing to death? Just started throwing darts at it.
Well, you know, I could have made up a fun story like, yeah, I got him right in the eye. We called it a frog's eye.
Now he's a pirate.
See how the play on words there? Bullseye, frog's eye, playing darts. Yep. See how I did that? When you have to explain your joke, that makes it funnier, right?
It actually does.
So, yeah. And I thought it would have been traumatizing to you. Like, your friend Greg, I came at him with a cardboard box, which is the scariest thing a tree frog could imagine. He can't jump around and scare people because he's in a box. And I went and released him outside where he belonged instead of inside my studio. So, yeah, that wasn't how you thought that story was going to end?
Not that it ended with you killing Greg.
Come on, man. You think I'm a killer? You think I'm a murderer? You think I would kill Greg just like that? I don't even know where you got that idea. That's terrible that you would think that of me.
You know, people kill things that they're afraid of. Happens all the time, especially when they're insignificant creatures like a tree frog or a bug. I had a dream last night, actually, that there was a gigantic spider in my room. Maybe that wasn't a dream. Maybe I woke up and saw it. Who knows? I'm just going to assume it was a dream. But Loudbeard, you talked about how this Greg leaped a great length of height. It did some gymnastic moves. Are you ready to talk that gymnastics?
Yes, baby, I am. I'm ready. Let's do it.
Our girl, Simone Biles, is now the greatest female gymnast of all time. She adds a few more titles to her name, and she ends up with 21 world titles at the 2019 Gymnastic World Championships over in Stuttgart, Germany. Yeah. By landing a triple-double composed of a double backflip with a three twist. I don't know what any of that means, but it sounds cool.
I'm impressed. She did a triple. She triple stamped a double stamp. You're not ever supposed to triple stamp a double stamp.
No. She triple doubled. She triple double doubled backflip triple twist.
So she triple doubled a double triple stamp. So I don't even know what that means, like you're saying, but I'm really impressed by that. Yeah, she's the greatest of all time. She's the GOAT. Tom Brady, take all those rings off because you owe Simone Biles an apology for calling yourself the GOAT.
Yeah, we talked about the New York Yankees. They have their 27 world championships. It took them like 100 years to get those 27. Simone Biles is, what, like 22? She basically has one title per year she's been alive.
Yeah, I think your math works out there. Let's talk that math. She's got a
lot. Let's see. Simone Biles. Ah, I nailed it. She is exactly 22. She was born March 14th, 1997. Does that make you feel old, Loudbeard?
Yeah, that amongst other things, like waking up in the morning and feeling the aches and pains of life. But that also that fact that she's been born a lot longer than, whatever you're saying.
You want to feel even older?
Okay, go ahead. Do it. Pull the Band-Aid.
Hold on, I can't. My dog is choking behind me really loudly on his water because he drinks his water too fast. Okay, I think he's done. You know Bendy Irwin, Loudbeard?
Yep. The lovable youngster of Steve Irwin, who was one of the greatest people of all time. May he rest in peace.
Yep, we remember watching The Crocodile Hunter, and you saw this little girl, maybe two, sometimes three, maybe even four, coming out with her dad, and he was such a great dad, and they were looking at, you know, different animals together and everything. You remember that? We were, like, college age?
Yeah.
You know, around that time?
I absolutely remember it. It's unforgettable.
Yeah. How old would you say Bendy Irwin is right now, Loudbeard? Do you already know?
No, I don't know. So I'm going to try to back into this one here. So she was maybe 3 years old when I was in college. I've been graduated from college a little over 15 years. So would that make her 18 to 20 in that range?
You're close. You're close. She is 21 years old now, Loudbeard. She's just 1 year younger than our champion, Simone
Biles. You mean she
Biles.
Can drink?
She can drink. She's been able to drink since she was 18, because I think that's legal drinking age in Australia.
Yeah, but only there's no laws when you're drinking White Claws, so it doesn't matter what age she was.
Yeah, but she doesn't look like the party-go-lucky drinking type anyways. She's more like, let's go and feed some penguins on a date night type deal. And those date nights have led to a wedding day, Loudbeard. Yes, Bendy is engaged, and she's going to be walked down an aisle with a koala bear.
Did you say koala bear?
Yes, a koala bear is going to walk Bendy down the aisle.
Can I just interject here? I feel
sure,
like a kangaroo would have been a better choice.
I don't know, because kangaroos can get kind of feisty. You don't
it's
want because
you watch all those videos of people fighting kangaroos on the internet, and kangaroos fighting back.
That's true.
Like, I don't think they're all like that, are they?
What if the kangaroo thinks the priest or the pastor or the minister or whatever they have, the zookeeper, whoever's performing the wedding, what if he thinks that that man or that woman is squaring up on them and he kicks him in the face?
Okay, I see what you're saying. There's a little level of unpredictability with the kangaroo. So the koala bear is probably a little bit tamer and maybe a little more docile. And when the koala bear walks down the aisle, it's going to be a little cuter. Okay, I can go with that. So Bendy's got a plan, and I think it's really sweet. It's really sweet.
Now, I wonder if the koala is her dad's favorite animal. Because if it's favorite animal, then it would have to be the crocodile, or maybe because he was a crocodile hunter, that wasn't his favorite animal. I don't know, but I hope she's going to carry this thing down the aisle, because koala bears are slow. And if I'm at a wedding, Loudbeard, the worst part about a wedding is the actual wedding itself for me. I'm sorry if that's rude or if that's bad, but I'm usually looking at my watch like, all right, let's get this thing going. Okay, let's do that Corinthians chapter 12 or whatever it is. Let's light the candles. All right, we've already prayed like 5 times. Okay, the Lord knows we love him. We thank him for this day. Like, the Lord's got it. He's probably thinking the same thing. The Lord is like, dude, 5 times in one wedding? Like, I see you. It's not all about you. I got some, like, floods over here and earthquakes over there I got to take care of. I don't got time for your 5 prayers at your wedding. And so if I'm sitting at this wedding and this koala bear is taking forever to go down the aisle to where the organist is, you know, getting a little carpal tunnel from playing the song over and over again, I'm not going to be a happy, happy wedding guest, Loudbeard, because it's about me, right? At a wedding, it's about me, the guest, not the party who's getting married.
It is 100% about the guests. Yes. You know, and that's how it feels sometimes. It's about the guests and about koala bears and making sure that Chris America doesn't feel like your ceremony's too long.
Have you ever been to a long ceremony, Loudbeard? It's the worst.
Yeah. I had one wedding I went to. Now, I'm going to go off the rails a little bit here. So, one wedding I went to, it was a wedding in the middle of the summer. And, you know, we live in the state of Florida where it is very hot.
I feel like we were at the same wedding.
Yeah, probably, probably. And you probably have the same story. Everybody's got this story, I guess.
If you live in Florida, you have this story. And I don't know why anybody in Florida has this story, but go on.
So, I'm out there. They have it's on a golf course. It's a beautiful country club, and we're all, you know, dressed in our nice suits. I have a suit jacket on, and we're kind of hanging out inside, thinking, all right, we're not going to go out and sit down until it's almost time. So the time the wedding was supposed to start, maybe about 10 minutes ahead of time, everybody goes and sits down and starts getting ready. We're all sitting there and basically baking in this Florida sun in the middle of a golf course, beautiful country club, and the damn ceremony started 45 minutes late. So we sat there. We got there. We sat down like 10 minutes before the ceremony was supposed to start. And you're just sitting there thinking, well, I can't really get up and leave and go sitting inside in the shade because it really could start at any time. Nobody came out and gave us any sort of warning like, oh, it's running behind. We're going to start at, 2:45 instead of 2 o'clock. No, this was just sit here and wait, baking in the sun, wearing a suit in 99-degree weather until somebody dies or somebody gets married. Fortunately, nobody died, but I was damn close. And since then, I hate weddings.
I heard everything about that story is the same as mine, except for mine was at Lou Gardens and not a golf course.
And you know why the wedding
started
late?
Every single thing you mentioned about that story is right on. The only thing I add to my story is that it was so hot, my eyeballs were sweating. Like, are you crying, Chris? No, I'm not crying. Literally, my eyeballs are sweating. That's how hot it is.
When I went inside, finally, after the ceremony was over, I couldn't take my jacket off because my shirt was soaked from, like, literally, I could wring it out from sweat. So the jacket was just to prevent everybody from seeing how sweaty I was. But the good news, everybody else was that sweaty. It was a total mess. And then afterwards, I heard two stories about why the ceremony started late. One, the bride's makeup appointment ran late. And that's why one of the reasons why. And the second, and I think this was the bigger reason why it started late, the damn groom, he was a little bit of a knucklehead. He forgot his pants. Like, he, you know, you rent a tuxedo, you got all your stuff. Well, I guess he was, wearing casual clothes. They take the limo over, and they have a room where they're getting prepared at the country club. And he gets everything ready, and he realizes that he doesn't have pants. The bride's dad had to run back to their house, which was like 35 minutes the other direction, to get this guy's pants and come back so that they could get this damn ceremony started 45 minutes late. And I'm, like, sitting here thinking, I'm getting ready to die because your dumbass forgot your pants at home. I'm about ready to lose it. And this is the worst part, Chris America. Those assholes were divorced within a year.
I was going to ask, are they still married? Because the couple that I went to, they're still together. So at least I'm like, okay, it was worth it. But yeah, I think you trumped my story because they got divorced within a year. So
yeah,
it made your whole day absolutely worthless.
Yeah, it was a coworker. It was, and it was one of those situations where I had other coworkers with me. We were all kind of sitting there. It was a fun time. We could all socialize. But I think we all were sitting there thinking, what the hell are these two doing? Like, they should not be getting married. We're smiling, and you guys are going to be great together and all that. But, behind the scenes, everybody's like, this shit ain't going to last. And guess what happened? It didn't last.
Who was the coworker? Was it the bride or the groom?
The bride.
Okay. Is she still single? What's her story? What's going on there?
I think she's remarried now.
God,
I don't,
damn it. All right.
Keep in touch too much. I work at a different employer now. But, yeah, I think I'm still Facebook friends. That's how we keep in touch with other people's lives that we have no idea that, like, we don't even talk to anymore. I probably haven't talked to her in 5 years. Boom. See her on Facebook. Now I know what she's doing, what she's up to.
Well, Loudbeard, that groom caused his wedding to be late, and he caused us to be late to our break. Let's do a break, and then we'll get remarried to the show after the break.
Hey, Kawhi, what are you laughing at, man? This isn't funny. Fantasy sports reimagined. FanDuel, that's what I'm talking about. It is more than just fantasy sports. It's the best way to watch the games, win real cash, and bring the action right to your living room. Just choose a contest, make your picks, watch, and win. And if you go to FanDuel.com/STR today, you can get a $5 deposit bonus. Once again, that's FanDuel.com/STR. Come on, man. This is not a laughing matter. If you've been listening to Scout Team Radio for a long time, you know that myself, Loudbeard, has placed a bet or two in his day. That's right, I've lost the beard bet, I lost the romper bet, but one place I don't like losing is when I bet money, and I can easily do that at MyBookie. That's right, you can go to mybookie.ag, use promo code 12OZSports, and get a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. Hey, guess what? That is a lot of money. Do it.
When I'm working hard, I build up a thirst for sports. That's when I grab a cold 12-ounce sports radio. Quench your sports thirst.
Hey everybody, it's your favorite patriot, Chris America, and I want you to listen every single weekday, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and on replays from 11 a.m. to noon of Scout Team Sports. Listen, George Washington did not cross over the ocean blue in 1492 to defeat the Nazis, so you can listen to the same tired national clickbait sports stories. So once again, tune in to us every single morning, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and then we replay from 11 to noon. I will see you there, and God bless America.
Welcome back, all you Scouty McScout faces. I appreciate y'all listening in. Once again, he is Chris America. I am Loudbeard. We're bringing it to you hot and live like we do each and every AM. If you don't listen to us live, you can always catch the podcast. That podcast is available anywhere you find a podcast. What, an Apple Podcast, Spotify Podcast, Google Play? You know the drill. Go find us. You can download each and every show. We upload it right after we come off the air live, so you can always catch us. Make sure you do that. And then if you do, rate, review, subscribe, or whatever the heck you do with that stuff, you know? You'll figure it out. You're smart. You're smart people. At least most of you. Except you. Yeah, you know which one of you I'm talking about. Yeah, you're not that smart, but everybody else out there is smart. Hit us up on Twitter. The Twitter line's been kind of quiet this morning. Sometimes it gets a little heated up on the second half of the show. Hit us up on Twitter, at Scout Team Radio. We appreciate the tweets. We will get interactive. We will talk about whatever you want to talk about. If you want to tell us one of your horrifying wedding experiences where you've been to a terrible wedding and you just tell us your story, we'd love to hear it. Hit us up on Twitter, at Scout Team Radio. Well, Chris America, why don't you get married back to our show, because I think it's time. Maybe
I'm
it's
sorry,
not time. Maybe I'm
down.
Making
What'd
it all
say?
Up.
What's that?
I said, why don't you, are you ready to get married back to the show?
And yes, let's do it.
I was trying to, you know, just give you a subtle cue that you could jump in and start talking about things, but yeah, I think you missed the cue. Maybe I was a little too subtle.
No, I forgot my pants. So I had to drive 45 minutes to go get them.
I hate when that happens. It happens, though. You know what? Speaking of weddings, I do have to bring up one very significant wedding that I feel like I attended. I didn't really attend, but I want to say that yesterday, I forgot to mention this. Happy 10-year wedding anniversary yesterday to Pam and Jim. 10 years since the wedding episode on The Office. You guys are the greatest. That's a couple that I knew would last.
Yeah, for sure. It got a little rocky, though, there towards the end of the show. Remember
that
that boom mic guy was kind of trying to move in on Pam while Jim was on the road trying to make that new company work?
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes couples go through those ups and downs, and that's a couple that I know that would stay strong. You remember that? I guess it was a few episodes, but it was leading up to the wedding episode. To me, that was like the high point of that show, is that whole wedding. I guess it was a few episodes leading up, and then that episode itself to me was the best episode in all of The Office.
It really was. And it was such a cool way that they did the wedding too. They made it about them instead of their guests, and yeah, I liked it. And at least they didn't leave their guests waiting in super hot weather outside. Again, I don't understand why anybody has an outdoor wedding in Florida anytime between the months of June through October.
I was going to say January through December.
Yeah. I had an outdoor wedding with Little America's mom in May, and it wasn't too bad. I think it was like 72 degrees outside, but we had it early in the morning too.
Okay. I see where you're going with that. You're trying to backpedal, but your poor guests, they melted out there, but that's okay. That's okay.
Lonbeard, I had a couple of thinker or stinkers that I wanted to do, and I forgot all of them but one. So can we do one thinker or stinker?
Let me think about it. I don't know if I want to do that or
the
not.
The thinker or the stinker.
Oh, Will Ferrell gets me going every time.
Yeah,
I'm ready
I was
it.
Listening to some sports talk radio yesterday, and I came up. I didn't really need to start writing them down. It's just when I'm at work, my hands are usually full, and I can't like write them down. And then once I get them empty, I completely forget. But I tell myself, "Oh, you got to remember that for the show tomorrow." And I forgot two of them. If they come to me, I'll just go ahead and throw them out there. That's how well produced and well prepared this show is. But Loudbird, let me know if you think this is a thinker or a stinker. Kevin Durant. I know you love Kevin Durant, right?
Oh, yeah, that's my bae.
He says that the Knicks cannot rely on the past success anymore. They're not as cool with younger players. Basically, he's saying, you know what? It's been so long that the Knicks have been relevant that NBA players today are not old enough to remember it, so they don't care, and that's why the Knicks never sign anybody. Is that a thinker or a stinker?
I'm going to give that one a thinker. I absolutely love this take by Kevin Durant because he's got to be right on some sort of level because the Knicks can't attract any free agents. They haven't been able to, and it doesn't look like they ever are going to. The Knicks, they haven't been good. They haven't been relevant. They're named after a damn pant that was worn in the 1920s, a Knickerbocker. I mean, how is that cool to the kids nowadays? Think about
it. It's true. It's true. I think it's a full-on thinker, and he's right. Now, obviously, I think a lot of that comes from the fact that he plays from the Brooklyn Nets. But, yeah, I think it's also true for college football. I think you look at Notre Dame, you look at, I mean, USC, they were relevant 10 years ago, but when you're talking 10 years ago, football players being recruited were 8, and their last national championship was 2004, I believe, for USC. And so now you're talking like they're 4 years old, and it's just not cutting it anymore. A lot of these brands in sports need to stop trying to rely on tradition, need to stop saying like, oh, we were good 100 years ago, and they need to just redo their brand and say, we're going to come back. I think a lot of more programs need to do that. I think college football needs to realize that too.
I agree, man. Now, these teams got to stay up on the times. They got to be a little bit more hip.
Now, here's kind of a thinker or stinker here for you, Loudbeard. Now, we were hating on, I came up with this one on my own. We were hating on Antonio Brown for all of his tweets last week, right?
Yep.
But do you think, or do you think it stinks, between Kevin Durant and Antonio Brown, which one do you think is better? If you're going to spout nonsense on Twitter, at least put your name behind it and be a man and just say what you have to say with your own name? Or do you like the way Kevin Durant does it and just creates burner accounts?
No, nobody likes the way Kevin Durant does it. That's a stinker.
So you at least give Antonio Brown some credit for being a man and putting his name behind what he says and thinks.
Yes, absolutely.
No matter how crazy it is.
Yep, absolutely. it's okay. When you put your name behind it, that shows that you're willing to really put your, you know, put it all out there. Your reputation is at stake.
Plus, it's way more fun when we get to see Antonio Brown go at it with Eric Weddle than AB fan 25252 go at it.
Yep. Now, Chris America, if you're an older person and you struggle with putting your name out on Twitter, what's the best way for you to sit out there and put your name out there?
Well, I've seen this grandma a few times on Facebook. I don't know if she's on Twitter, but I've seen her on Facebook. And basically, her videos are really dumb. to be honest with you. I get why people like them, because she just curses a lot and screams at people or just goes up and says random things. The problem I have with the videos is they go too long and the bit gets old. But that's what I would do. I would just have my grandson or my granddaughter take me around town cursing at people or asking them random questions or just dancing to hip-hop, the hippity-hop music that the kids are listening to during that time. That's how I would do it. Just basically be weird and senile.
All right. Well, if you've got a couple minutes for me, Chris America, I'm going to share a quick story.
Well, I actually have 10 minutes because that's how long I have to be on the show with
good.
You. So go
good,
ahead.
Good. So there's a young Penn State player that received a letter. It was a typed letter, not handwritten, but it was signed at the bottom from an alumni. And I just want to get your, I guess you could make this a thinker or a stinker, but I just wanted to get your take and tell me if you feel that this is an appropriate letter to send to a college athlete. So at the top in bold, it says, "We are Penn State. Proud," several exclamation points. So very proud. It says, "Dear Jonathan, my wife and I are proud older graduates of Penn State. We follow all Penn State sports, football, wrestling, volleyball, gymnastics, basketball. We love it all. I played all the sports in my younger days, still played full court basketball into my 50s, loved the competition, but never had the size or the talent to reach your level, though the desire was there. Though the athletes of today are certainly superior to those in my days, we miss the clean-cut young men and women from those days. Watching the Idaho game on TV, we couldn't help but notice your, well, awful hair. Surely there must be mirrors in the locker room. Don't you have parents or a girlfriend who've told you that those shoulder-length dreadlocks look disgusting and are certainly not attractive? We congratulate you on the game against Pitt, but you need to remember you represent all Penn Staters, both current and those alumni from years past. We would welcome the reappearance of dress codes for athletes. You will certainly be playing on Sunday in the future, but we have stopped watching the NFL due to the disgusting tattoos, awful hair, and immature antics in the end zone. Players should act as though they've been there before. For the glory, Dave Peterson."
You know, Loudbeard, millennials, they get lots of heat, right?
Yep.
We make fun of them quite a bit. I've started to turn the tide. Not that I'm a millennial, but I've really started been hitting back at these baby boomers. They've really been just... These baby boomers have really just been grinding my gears these last several years, constantly with their just... The thing I don't understand about baby boomers, right, Loudbeard, is they were the hippies. They were the ones that did, you know, Woodstock and LSD and hippies and long hair, and you know, they were a generation of protesters, and they were part of the civil rights movement and everything. And it's just, I understand that that wasn't every single baby boomer back in the day. Just like, not everybody when we were growing up were goth kids or metalheads or anything like that, but it was just kind of like they were the staple. When you think of the 60s and 70s, you think of that, right? You don't think of the cut-laced, straight-edge guy. I mean, I don't know, man. This isn't new. It's not like players didn't have long hair back in the 60s and 70s. Now, I know the coaches made them cut it and give them uniforms or you know, dress codes or whatever, but dude, like, it's not that serious. Get a life. We have tattoos now. We like to show our personalities. We're no longer a country of, like, we need you to be robots and you all need to look the same and be the same and act the same and no personalities here. Like, dude, like, we're moving on from that. We've evolved. I know evolution is a scary word for you, but it happens. Evolution happens. Change happens. We grow. We become better. That is a bona fide stinker, is what I'm trying to say, Loudbeard. Bona fide stinker. Baby boomers, stop being so old. Get back to the free-loving hippie days that you guys used to have. We need it back.
Oh, Chris America. I, I don't know what it was, but I was reading that letter and I was just thinking, man, it would be nice to have that amount of time to just sit there and just be so critical in the entire world that you can write a letter talking about how hair is bothering you on watching a football player. Like, come on, dude, that's terrible. Now, I will say that as you get older, your taste changed a little bit. You know, I was a little bit more free-going and free-willing when I was younger, but you become a parent, and your perspective on life changes, and sometimes as you get older, you just get a little bit more, I'm going to say crotchety, right? Like, you just aren't as open to things. So I'm going to give you a real-life scenario that happened in my life. I don't know if you saw this on Facebook or not, but our middle daughter, she turned 18, and my wife and I were up in South Carolina over the weekend, just kind of like you were, and she stayed home because she had homecoming, and her dad, she's my stepdaughter, her dad went and saw her on Sunday, and now she's 18, she thinks she's pretty cool, right? So she says she's going to go get a tattoo. She doesn't tell us. She just goes and gets a tattoo with her dad, and we find out that she got a tattoo on Facebook when her dad posted a picture, or she posted a picture or something of it. And being older now, I'm thinking, why the hell would you get that? You're going to regret that when you're older. Am I being too critical? Because I have a lot of tattoos on my legs, and I'm kind of open on the tattoo thing, but should I not be a crotchety old man? And I gave her the whole speech that she's going to regret it when she's older. She should have talked to us first. Even though she's 18, she still lives under my roof. Is that okay to still give that speech?
I think it's natural. I do think we naturally we get older, and so we naturally become that old man. It just happens, and you got to catch yourself in it because, like you said, you sat there and you watched her get the tattoo, and your instinct was, oh, you're going to regret it. And then you sit there and you thought, well, I have tattoos. Do you regret any of your tattoos, Loudbeard?
No, I don't regret tattoos.
And how old were you when
you got your first tattoo? They're part of life, right?
How old were you when you got your first tattoo?
I was probably, I want to say I was 22 or 23. I was a little bit older. I didn't get it.
You were a little bit older. And, like, that's going to be my thing with Little America. I'm not going to care that he gets tattooed. Now, I'm not going to let him get a tattoo till he's 18. It's just not going to happen under my watch. And it's for the same reason that you're saying. Like, I don't know if you're going to want that tattoo. And what I plan on doing is he's 10 or 11 now, but I'm planning on keeping some of his stuff that he's, like, really into. And then when he's 18 and he's like, yeah, Dad, I'm really going to want this. I'm like, well, this is what you were into 10 years ago. Are you still into that now? Would you have wanted a tattoo of Stranger Things or Five Nights at Freddy's on your body for the rest of your life? I'll have that talk with him, but then again, but I'll still be like, it's still your decision because you're 18. It's your body. I'm not going to give the whole, like, you live under my roof thing. I think the more thing that you're more upset about and you're not saying it is that she didn't come to you guys or talk to you guys about it, that she went to the stepdad but her real dad. And you and your wife felt left out of the decision. I think that's what the underlying issue is, I think.
Now, did you see what the tattoo was?
I did not.
Okay. Now, this may change your mind. And her dad actually got a matching tattoo of the exact same thing. So this was a sweet bonding moment that they needed. And it's a camel tattooed on her big toe. So she has a camel toe.
Oh, I think you did tell me about that. I mean, at least it's on her toe. Like, the only time people are going to see it was when she's at the beach. And even then, like, how often do you look at people's feet? And it feels like if she does regret it, she can either get it removed or have it covered. Or, again, it's a coverable tattoo. And at least it's not on her lower back.
Okay.
I think it's okay. It's going to be okay, Loudbeard. I think the underlying issue is just that, you know, you and Mrs. Loudbeard wanted to be involved in your daughter's decision in this, and you weren't. It was more of like a her and the dad thing. And I think that's where it comes from. But if I can, Loudbeard, before we go off the show, we read that guy's letter, and I was looking into the story some more, and I want to read the letter from the student. And I want you to tell me who's the 50-plus-year-old college graduate who's proud of an alumni and who is the 18 to 22 year old young man who is still in college and not graduated. We heard the one letter. Now I'll read you the letter from the college athlete himself. Yesterday, I received a letter by an alumni from the Pennsylvania State University who felt the need to share his degrading opinions in regards to my hair and what it stands for. Although the message was indeed rude, ignorant, and judging, I've taken no personal offense to it because personally, I must respect you as a person before I respect your opinion. Boom. Roasted. At the end of the day, without an apology needed, I forgive this individual because I'm nowhere near close to being perfect, and I expect God to forgive me of all the wrongs that I've done in my life. Colossians 3:13 states, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I appreciate everyone who has reached out to me and showed their support. Let this be one of the many examples to us that in the year 2019, people of different cultures, religions, and ethnicities are still being discriminated against, and it needs to stop. Don't be scared to be different. Black heart emoji, cross emoji. Which one was the older adult who has been graduated for several years, and which one is the student?
Well, in that case, we know who's more mature, and I believe that in itself deserves just a mic drop, Chris America. You know who
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, that letter right there was Oprah Solid.
Hashtag it, Oprah Solid.
Haven't done an Oprah Solid in a while. He definitely brings it back.
Hey, tomorrow, we
need to talk about that guy did this. Lots of groaning while he's writing that letter.
Yeah, he did. Tomorrow, we need to talk about this smashed room in the Philadelphia Flyers Stadium. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. We're going to talk about that tomorrow.
Peace.
Peace.